Well, I want to preach a message tonight that a lot of Christians don't like to hear, the marks of a lukewarm Christian. But sometimes we have to express ourselves on our needs rather than what people want at times. So I would ask you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 14 through 19. The title of the message is The Marks of a Lukewarm Christian. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. And we are so happy that we can preach the word of God, believe the word of God, and live the word of God. We'll never go wrong if we hold to God's word and let it determine our life, and what we do in our life, and what's going to take place in our life. Give us the liberty tonight to preach this word of God in love and understanding. And I'll be sure and give you the praise for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me begin this message by making a statement. No doubt, coffee is the most popular drink today. I know folk who drink as many as 10 to 15 cups a day. You probably do too. I call them coffee hounds. There's one of them right down there, my son. He's a coffee hound. He's staying with me for a short visit. And every time I come in the house, he's got a cup of coffee. Now, no doubt you have heard the expression often, there's nothing like a good, hot, steaming cup of coffee. But let me ask you something. Do you ever drink a cup of lukewarm coffee? Usually when someone drinks a cup of lukewarm coffee, they always make a funny face and say, this tastes terrible. It needs to be heated up. So they set the coffee down and refuse to drink anymore. Now I want you to notice what the text for this message says in verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot or cold. Now, what does that mean? It simply means they were lukewarm. Now the next question arises, to whom is our Lord addressing his remarks? Certainly not to an infidel or an atheist. No, he's speaking to those Christians who have neglected so great a salvation and have compromised their standards. Now let me ask you a question. who impedes the progress of the church and is often hurtful to its testimony? There's only one answer: the lukewarm, indifferent Christian. He's the type of person who has one foot in the church and one in the world. They use their Christianity like they use their silverware only on Sunday, and that's to impress company that may come to their home. Now, do you think for one moment the blight of the church today is drunkenness, immorality, or profanity? No, it's none of these things. It's the lukewarmness on the part of the professing Christian. And every Christian needs to understand that they are on display, and their neglect of so great a salvation will only turn the world against the church and its head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Of all the difficult people to win to discipleship, the most difficult ones are those who bend to every breeze, the ones who take the middle of the road, the one who always agrees with the last man who speaks to him. Now, may I say that lukewarmness is only half-heartedness. For example, what would the United States Army be worth if the soldiers said to the officers, "We're willing to wear the uniform, we're willing to draw our pay and eat our meals, we're willing to drill every day, providing the weather is not too hot, nor too cold, or too wet, or too dry. And we're willing to march if it's not too tiresome." Now, if you were in the service for about 3 years like I was, you know what they're talking about for sure. He goes on and says, "We would be willing to fight provided we have a safe place and the enemy doesn't press us too hard." Now, such an attitude would change the best army in the world to nothing more than a worthless rabble. When our Lord said to the Laodicean church, "You are neither hot nor cold," they knew exactly what he was talking about. And believe me, a lukewarm Christian today also knows. Of all the unattractive people, I think the listless, lukewarm Christians are the ones that take the prize. How often have you heard someone say, "Boy, I like that fella. He has a lot of enthusiasm. He's full of life." But whoever heard anybody say, "I like him because he's as limp as a dead fish"? It is our business as Christians to win others to Christ. But how can we do this? It doesn't take ability or cleverness, just genuine earnestness and a burden for the lost. I never heard of a lukewarm Christian winning anyone to Christ. Why? Because he totally lacks enthusiasm. Did you know that a listless, half-hearted, lukewarm church is about the most uninteresting thing in all the world? Let me illustrate this. There was a small town in the state of Tennessee, a man who posed as an atheist. He never went to church, but during the church services, he could be seen in the front of any of the local stores, whittling on a piece of wood and talking theology to those who would listen to him. But one night, the church caught fire. And there being no fire department in the town, the people had to do the fighting. And they had to do it with a bucket brigade. It so happened that this atheist found a place at the head of the line. It was his job to throw the water onto the fire. And he was working hard at his job. And a pastor came by and saw him. And he said, "Well, hello there, Uncle George. This is the first time I've ever seen you at church." "Yes," was his answer. "And this is the first time this church has ever been on fire." You see what I'm saying? A building on fire will always bring the people out. So also is a man on fire for God. He is the most compelling, interesting thing in all the world. The second thing I want you to notice is that we have many Christians who are lukewarm about integrity. Now, integrity means honesty, purity, and a good character. Now, let me illustrate that. The average Christian intends to pay his debts, but some are lukewarm about it. Oh, they don't mean to be dishonest. They're simply indifferent about it. Years ago, I had a good friend that was in the grocery business. And he was a fine Christian man. He loved the Lord. He's gone now to be with the Lord. But one day he showed me a long list of names of people who had not paid their bills. And on that list were several names of active church members. Now, believe me, many Christian testimonies have been ruined and made powerless simply because they refuse to pay their honest debts. I don't hear any amens. Thank you. I remember at my ordaining council years ago, one of the pastors asked this question to me. He asked if I paid my debts. And then he went on to say many pastors' ministries were ruined because of their failure to meet their God and their God-given obligations. And certainly, he was right. Did you know that church bonds, now get this, church bonds are the biggest risk on the market today? The outside public won't buy them. Why? They're too big of a risk. Too often, we become lukewarm about paying our debts, and God then withholds his blessings from us. No Christian would think of robbing a bank. But if you purchase something and don't pay for it, what's the difference? Then thirdly, there is a lukewarmness on the part of many Christians about being obedient to God's holy word. Now remember, Jesus Christ is not only the Savior of our life, but he also should be the master of our life. And this is why the Word of God was given to us by the Holy Spirit, because he wants us to be doers of his Word and not hearers only. Then again, how many Christians are lukewarm about the study of God's Word? Oh, they believe it's the Word of God, but they never pick it up and read it and study it. Now, a sundial is of no value if a roof is placed over it. And a Bible is no value if you let it lie closed on a table or on a shelf. Let's be honest now. Many Christians, in fact, I would say most Christians, read the newspaper far, far more than they do the Bible. One day a pastor had everyone in the audience raise his hand if they had read the book of Hezekiah. Many hands went up. And yet, there's no such book in the Bible. Do you know what the Bible is? It's a love letter. It's a love letter to God, from God to all of humanity. In fact, I would say it's God's second best gift to humanity. Jesus Christ is God's best gift to humanity. And because of that, we ought to love this book, and we ought to read this book every day of our lives. And if you do, I guarantee you, you will be more than lukewarm for Jesus Christ. Someone once said, "Pastor, I don't read the Bible. If I don't read the Bible, I won't know what's in it, and therefore I won't be held responsible for what I do." Now, that's Satan talking to you, and he'll throw you a curve every time. Now, let me explain that. There are laws in the state of Florida. I've never read them. Nevertheless, if I break any of these laws, I'm counted guilty and I'll pay the penalty. The whole world and every Christian is without excuse. This Word of God has been placed here for you and I to read. And if you don't, then you suffer the consequences. Then fourth, I believe there is a lukewarmness about this business of prayer. Excuse me. Yes, we believe in prayer. We know the promises of prayer. We know its power and how God answers prayer. And yet, the lukewarm Christian fails to manifest a prayer life. Now, let's be honest. We all agree the greatest source of power is prayer. Yet, isn't it true that most Christians depend upon the doctor more than they do Jesus Christ? Now, think for a moment, and I'm not trying to run the doctor down. He's a great man, and I love my doctor. He's been good to me. Think for a moment. Any doctor is only an instrument in God's hand, whether he recognizes it or not. Yet, every doctor is important. The Lord only knows how many doctors I have heard during the course of my ministry say, "Pastor, only prayer can keep that person alive." That doctor uses all of the skills and know-how he has, but in the end, he must acknowledge his limits. When we are in trouble, we try everything in our power to overcome the problem. Then after we have failed, we are forced to take it to the Lord in prayer. In other words, we put the cart ahead of the horse. We should take it to the Lord in prayer first. Then he will tell us what he wants us to do. Nothing, absolutely nothing, lies outside the reach of prayer except that which is outside the will of God. Prayer makes a difference in every Christian life. Whatever you're involved in, whether it's business, the school, marriage, friendship, you name it, to overcome, you must keep in touch with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And if we fail to pray, we break contact with our Lord, and immediately everything begins to go wrong, and we find ourselves constantly in hot water. We have become lukewarm Christians. The songwriter was right when he said, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." We sing that great song, but do we believe it? Do we believe it? Only you can answer that. In the kind of day and age you and I live in today, we can't afford to be just lukewarm in our prayer life. We must prove to the world that God indeed does answer prayer. And then next, there is a lukewarmness among God's people in the matter of Christian service. Now, the cry of every pastor I know is, "Give me more folk who are faithful and obedient Christians." We are too quick to give up or quit when the going gets rough or things don't go our way. I saw a man some time ago who used to be a member of this church. In fact, he sang in a choir. He was faithful to all the services. He could be counted on. Then something happened in his life. What it was, I don't know. I never heard. And he gave up, quit. Now he looks like the world, acts like the world, and makes one wonder whether he is ever saved. But that's not my business to judge. Our Christian service to God must stand the test of persecution, depression, as well as tribulation. In the past, oftentimes during my own ministry, I'm just the same as you are. I get tired, I get discouraged at times, because the burdens and the responsibilities oftentimes get heavy. And I would say to myself, what's the use? But then I found that such things drove me to my knees. And after talking to the Lord, I got up and said, "Thank you, Lord, for calling me and allowing me to preach and proclaim your precious word." Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Folk, we need to pray for our pastor every day. Every day. So that we might keep him strong in the Lord. Let me ask a question right now. You raise your hand. How many will pray every day for the pastor? Thank you. Then he don't know what struck him when he comes back. He's going to have such power. Keep on praying for him, and I'll tell you, he'll do the job for you. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." That's why we need to pray for a pastor. Lukewarmness must go when it comes to service for Christ. We must be an example at all times before the world that they might see Jesus Christ in us. Let me illustrate what I'm saying. Some years ago, a deaf mute in Knoxville, Tennessee, is a wonderful Christian man. He worked in the city 5 miles from where he lived. Each morning he would board a bus, smile at the driver, pay his fee, take a front seat, open his Bible, and read it until he reached his destination. Then one morning, after 7 years, when the deaf-mute boarded his bus, the driver handed him an envelope with a note inside. And this is what it said. "Sir, I'm not a Christian, but for 7 years I've watched you and I know you have something I don't have, but something I need." And then he wrote his name and address on the bottom of the page and asked the man if he would bring an interpreter with him and come over to his house and tell him how he could become a Christian. I get this. Here was a deaf mute. He couldn't even talk. But he was able to win this man to the Lord by the life he lived. We need to drown our lukewarmness in a sea of forgetfulness and make our Christianity a reality. Then finally, how do we overcome lukewarmness? By growing in His grace and truth. The answer is maturity in Christ. It is a willingness to pass up worldly sinful pleasures in favor of long-term gain. An enthusiastic young Christian prayed, "Lord, use me, even if I have to become a doormat." God took him in his word. And it wasn't long before he was stepped on, mistreated, and badly used. And he flared up in anger, manifesting quite a different spirit from the attitude he had when he expressed in prayer. Hear me now. Lip service will never do for heart service. Too often our words are more humble than our acts. Lukewarmness has no place in a mature Christian. Lukewarmness will not allow the Christian to demonstrate the power of the indwelling Christ. The cause of Christ and His church is suffering today simply because many Christians have been lukewarm. It's that sin of the Christian that makes God sick. Now, you can make God happy as well as yourself by being obedient Christian, living for Jesus, and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let me end this message on a note of optimism and loving humility. Our Lord said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, will sup with him, and he with me." This evening, Jesus Christ knocks at the heart door of the lukewarm Christian and says, "Child of God, let me have your whole life. Let me be the Lord of your life and see that what I have done for others, I can do for you. I will be your peace. I'll be your power." Now, you may be here this evening without Christ. Right now, believe me, He stands at your heart's door, knocks. And if you will open that door, believe me, He will come into your heart and your life. All Christians, I believe, are thankful for Jesus' promise, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." But too often, our circumstances affect how eagerly we anticipate His return. Paul said, "Whether life for us today is a joy or struggle, we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and live soberly, righteously, and godly. Tonight, I ask each one of you, including myself, take inventory of our lives and be honest with ourselves and with God. Let's confess our shortcomings and give God first place in our lives. And remember, God hates lukewarmness. But thank God tonight, you can do something about it. You can let go and let God have his way in your heart and your life. Let's pray together. In just a few moments, as we sing the invitation hymn, I wonder how many of you would visit this old-fashioned altar and promise God from the depths of your heart, your life for him is going to be different. It's a challenge to all of us. Heavenly Father, I've tried my best to present the word in the simplest way I know how. Holy Spirit, it's up to you to speak to the heart of the people and cause them to become not only hearers of the word, but doers also. And so as the invitations are being sung, may many come and make a commitment to him that our life is going to count for him, and we're going to have a dedicated prayer life so we can talk to him every day of our life. I ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.